back there in seminary school.
So, you're not playing this, are you?
There was a person there
who
put forth that you can petition the Lord with prayer.
What is this, the beginning of the show?
Petition the Lord with prayer.
Just came up, man, you know.
What does that mean?
Petition the Lord with prayer.
You cannot petition...
Shut up, bud.
You cannot petition the Lord with prayer!
Now, why are we playing that garbage?
That's just... It just came up in rotation, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Similar.
But whatever comes up in rotation...
Whatever comes up in rotation, is that what it is?
Yeah.
And now listen to the guy. What, is this that Morrison guy?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, why do people think this guy could sing? He sounds horrible.
No, Jim Morrison was a crooner, you know.
Wait. Is it my imagination or this guy said, "Can you find me?" Did you just hear that?
Well, you can't be that cruel.
Anyway, that is the beginning. Yeah, when we roll a song at the beginning of the show, a lot of times it's just
whatever fires out of the gun, you know.
Yeah, whatever fires out of the gun. I know a lot of guys that have gotten their heads blown off that way. All right.
Hey.
I'm General Kalish. You want to turn this weird ass off?
All right, General. Anyway, welcome to.
Listen, I'm not kidding. Listen, can you find me?
Anyway, that's the Doors. I guess, Bud, we should take that out of rotation, huh?
Why?
Because it obviously is not the kind of thing that we want to start the show off. It just popped right on and...
Well, Phil, you know you have control over that. You can stop and start again.
I know, but I'm kind of superstitious that way.
What do you mean by that?
Well,
I know what you mean, Mr. Sanders. Like, you know, you don't want to interrupt the flow.
Yeah.
That's right. It's just, I'm superstitious. If whatever starts the show, starts the show.
So it's just a random luck of the draw, whatever song is going to be firing out of the old player, you know.
God, General.
All right, so I had a bit of a... There's a hitch in my step tonight because of all this news, my God.
All right, well, I don't blame you, General. It's been just a goofy period of time here, man, since the election. It doesn't matter who you voted for. You might have voted for Donald Trump. You might have voted for Hillary Clinton. You might have voted for one of the other guys. It's just what a nerve-wracking period it's been.
Well, you know something, Phil? My theory is this. People are... See, I will tell you one thing. There is a woman on CNN. It has nothing to do with her politics, but I want to slap her dirty...
Oh, you're talking about that now?
That's Scotty Nell Hughes.
All right, now let's not get...
Oh, Phil, don't be a hypocrite. You were talking about her before the show went on.
Yeah, you were, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, all right, I wasn't talking about slapping her.
What's your problem?
I'd like to slap the god... Look at the smirk on that Southern belle. She's got the bleached Southern hair. She's got the smirky face. She's sitting there in Nashville like she's in some big city, and she's not.
Nashville's a good-sized city.
Ladies and gentlemen, Phil Henry just hit himself in the face with the Rich Uncle's copy.
Thank you.
All right,
no bad-mouthing people here. Let's...
Give me a break, Phil. Look at her. She's all, yeah, I think Mr. Trump. I'd like to just put a fist right through the screen, right through the fiber optics, right through the inner and outer space, to the satellite, down from the satellite, so that my arm is essentially some 30 to 40,000 miles long. And punch her right in the gut.
But what is it about her?
First of all, she thinks she's gorgeous, and she's not. She's got the big honking nose.
All right.
But what are you laughing at, Phil?
All right, take it easy, will you? God, you're going to sound a little petty. I mean, if you don't like the woman, dislike her for something a little more substantial than her looks, okay?
I think she's very beautiful myself.
What, man? You're nuts. Now, I agree with Bud. Scotty Dell Hughes is gorgeous.
And, oh, my God, you know what? Your taste is right up your...
Right up the butt.
I wasn't going to say that.
All right, enough about her, and welcome to the show. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show for today. It's Thursday. And coming up on Saturday night, guess what, man? I'm going to see the UCLA Bruins, USC Trojans, the big inner-city rivalry here in Los Angeles. My good brother, Big D.
Yeah, Don Olander came through, huh?
That's right. My big brother there, Donald Olander, came through. So, and it's just going to be the two of us because I think he's only got.
You know, you had season tickets for the Rams. What is it with you and the Rams?
What do you mean? What is it with me and the Rams?
Yeah, you had four season tickets. Now all of a sudden, you don't have none.
Now all of a sudden, it was 20 years ago I had four seats.
Yeah, but why didn't you re-up with the tickets?
Because first of all, when I went to get the Rams, when I actually looked into it, they were sold out. Okay, and I'm not all that, I don't know, man. I mean, this time around, the Rams are going to have to just, I'm going to have to, you know, come into my affection and love and loyalty for the Rams the way I did originally, you know, play some football games. Let me see how you're doing. Let me get the feel of it. Let me, you know, there's far, far too much. It's a far better thing I do, which is to actually save my money for Laker seats, than I've ever done before.
Isn't that funny? Hey.
All right, but point is, I don't have Ram seats, and that's the way it's going to be, Jack. And but anyway, we're going to go see the Bruins and the Trojans.
Yeah, that both of them blow.
Yeah, they're blowing it up this year.
Oh, are they not? Are they not no good? I mean, not no good. They're not any good.
No, I don't think they're doing now.
Well, I don't look at me. I don't follow that garbage. The only sport that I follow, I'm sorry, I just suddenly went Chinese, didn't I?
Yeah.
That I thought, God, you know what happens, Phil? Seriously, I was thinking about, for whatever reason, I was thinking about that Kim Jong-il funk, that jackball, and I went, follow me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you think I'm lying, huh?
Oh, get out of here, will ya? Let's,
what are you talking about? I said, what team do you furrow?
No, you said, what team do you furrow? And you said that because...
You said
that because you were thinking of who?
Who's the guy that runs that Kim Jong-il Wong?
It's Kim Jong-il.
Who's the guy, the son?
I beg your pardon?
Who is the guy that's leading North Korea right now, Bud?
I don't know.
Robert?
I don't know.
Well, it's that Kim Jong-il guy.
I thought Kim Jong-il was the cat that was... Never mind. All right, we're going to be right back in the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Let's check out the traffic. Bob Bacon, Bob.
I feel like I'm in my traffic. Kim Jong-il, I'm dead, but I'll tell you right now, I'm feeling ill as I take a look at the traffic out the cat web. Up here on the High Five Freeway, it's going to be about 5:30. It's about 1 o'clock this afternoon. It's bow out. And if you bow out, you bow out there, and that's in a real dog of an afternoon time. We've got Blaine. Let's go over to the Sky Boy.
Hey, Mom, I go over on Steel Man and Steelburger. And a couple more, but I've got it talking about Grant Gibson. There will be a traffic now, and there's going to be a cow. If you have a cow, it's your business. I'm throwing my thing. It's Grant's song. Let's go to Boy Sky Baby Sweet Tim.
And I'm not a kind of one. My mama, the Hebrew,
all of God's children. Another gas tank. I'm taking the bus.
Can you give me sanctuary? Hi, everybody. I'm Chip Barlow, the number one impersonator of Jim Morrison. And my new album, Chip Barlow Does Jim Morrison Yet Again, is available now on Arnsbard Records and Tapes. You don't go to a record store. You don't even go online. You have to go to a bin and buy it there. Big barrels at your local record hop shop, wherever you go to buy crap like that. I guess you will have to get it online, won't you? Chip Barlow, Jim Morrison Yet Again. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light the fire. Great hits like Love Me Two Times, I'm Going Away. And I See You Live on Love Street. And also, Break On Through to the Other Side. Hey, Break On Through to the Other Side. Chip Barlow sings Jim Morrison Yet Again. Available now at your local bargain bin. Jim Morrison. Chip Barlow sings Jim Morrison Yet Again. I'm Chip Barlow, and I do this every year at Christmas time. My traditional Chip Barlow Sings Jim Morrison Yet Again album. When the music's over, turn out the light. Ouch, turn out the light. Yeah, turn out the light. Chip Barlow singing Jim Morrison Yet Again. I hope you look into the bargain bin there at the drugstore that you shop at. Just go over to the big barrel where all that cheap stuff, you know, chewing gum wrappers and probably some kids spit up in there. My album's at the very bottom. Take a look. Have you got a headache? I'll bet you do. Well, there's one surefire way of getting rid of it. Cutting your head off. Of course you're not going to do anything like that, are you? You would take aspirin. Well, so it goes with television. Television shows may bother you, but does that mean you have to turn them off? No. What you would do is go find drugs that make them palatable. Hello, Winston Smurt for The Smoke. The Smoke will be a new shop opening here in California where marijuana will be sold. Yes, it's now legal to smoke weed in California. So you can put up with all the garbage can television, radio, all the bad music, all of the lousy TV shows, and let's not forget the rotten video games by smoking large, big, fat joints. The Smoke opening in the Happenstance Mall. I hope you'll come and take advantage of the product that we have. Brownies, yes. Lollipops, yes. Everything you can do with weed. I even made furniture out of it. I've got a sports jacket that I'm wearing right here made from weed. I used garbage weed to make it. It doesn't matter. No one cares. The Smoke this weekend.
Oh, wow. There he is. Oh, isn't this interesting? That is Slayer.
Yeah, Slayer's called Raining Blood.
Ooh. So what?
You're not scared of it.
What do you mean, am I? Why should I be scared of it? Right, anyway,
No, you're not scared of that, General.
Why should I be scared of this garbage?
Because it's,
Because it's the demon.
Why don't you guys, you know what you guys ought to do? I think you guys, you know, you could stand a little religion there, bud. I think you ought to go to church and get a little bit of that religion in you.
What are you talking about?
Listen to this garbage. I don't, there's nothing satanic about it.
Well, still, it puts me off.
Yeah, man, it's very, disquieting. It's only disquieting to you numbskulls, because you got brains.
Well, General, you went...
I know what I did. It's disquieting to you numbskulls because you have brains that are the size of small chickpeas.
Small chickpeas.
That's right. What, are you going to get... You're going to be smart-ass about it?
Well, what about a large chickpea?
Well, that's what your brain is the size of. And your nuts.
What an idiot, Bud.
I thought you were going to call me an idiot.
Bud.
Yeah?
Come on.
You're a real ass.
Hey, Bud, that, you know, the exaggerated laugh. All right,
What, the one where I went?
Yeah, that one right there. Yeah.
Hey. All right, Stephen Bozell is going to join us, the construction contractor from Corona, California. And then we also have Robert Green from Fraser Foods, who is, I guess he's going to be talking to us about his position as the CEO of Fraser Foods. Is there going to be a change? Is he going to be stepping down from that position? Fraser Foods, a longstanding grocery chain here in Southern California, throughout the Southwest and Southeast. So we'll be talking to him as well. Let's get out to Steve Bozell, though. He's in Corona, California. We wanted to discuss with him this. I made the announcement, and we have some people out today, and we're due to have some more contractors out later in the week because we're going to be expanding our studio. Steve, how are you doing?
Hey, Mr. Henry, I'm great.
Now, Steve, it sounds like you're in is that the pond you have?
Yeah, I've got a pond that I sit at, and I think about things, and I think about how my life's going, and, you know, the things that I'd like to have happen for me, and so on and so forth.
But a lot of times you're at that pond when you're not feeling right.
Yeah, and...
Does this have to do with me expanding the studio?
Well, it did a little bit, and I don't want you to feel... I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me, okay? I just come out here just to... I guess just to kind of figure out what went wrong or what, you know, hopefully what goes right. But most of the time I come out here because I want to know what went wrong.
Are you all right, Mr. Bozell? You sound kind of sad.
Yeah.
I'm fine, you know.
All right, well, let's talk to Steve Bozell here about... And I don't want to get too inside baseball, but...
What does that mean, inside baseball?
I don't want to get too inside, talking about inside stuff, but we're going to be, you know, knocking out a wall here and making the studio a little bit bigger, and we want to extend it. There's a living room behind me here, folks, from the studio. Behind me is like a living room. There's a fireplace.
Well, it looks like the ocean is behind you there.
Yeah, but sir, I'm looking at it on my laptop.
Yeah, okay. All right, let's be... But on the other side of the ocean is a fireplace, and what we want to do is turn that into a little bit of a green room, a place where we could actually do some interviews, some video interviews, and the like.
Yeah, well, I heard the specs from this guy you had out today, Andrew, because I talked to him on the phone. I called him right after that.
How did you know that he was out here?
Because I got some right there. See it? Yeah. Hey, mister, don't worry. I'm not going to worry about it. But you know that Wheeler has the same problem up in Novato.
Which is what? Is that that traveling squirrel?
Yeah. And I don't...
For Christ's sake, would you look at Bozell? No one's going to hire you if they think you're talking to a squirrel with a steamer trunk. Do you understand?
Oh, my God.
Well, he's right, Steve.
All right, I'm not paying attention to it, but you can hear it. And when I'm feeling down, and see it's coming.
There's no squirrel talking to you, man. You know, you and Wheeler both ought to go inside for a psychiatric evaluation, and then I'll have you back on the show.
Excuse me?
Like I said, you and Wheeler both ought to go back in for a psychiatric evaluation.
What do you mean back in? I haven't been in even the first time.
You were not evaluated.
No, I have not been evaluated.
Well, Phil is saying that it might be time.
All right, Steve, you know, just forget it, will you? Forget you got squirrels there.
It's fine, man. I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it at all.
Yeah, but you made a comment that they were there.
All right, I made a comment they were there because they obviously migrated.
Look at Wheeler. Or what's your name again? Bozell.
My name is not Bean Wheeler.
Well, you're talking nuts just like him. If you got traveling squirrels there, you better just ignore them.
Yes, sir. That's what I'm going to do. And what I'm trying to say to you is, and I was trying to ignore the squirrel as it was doing its thing, is that I talked to that guy you had out. So I know the specs, okay?
So how did you know he was there?
Because there?
I mean here.
Because I got the word. I got the word from Joe, and I got the word there from Bud.
Well, you didn't say it was a secret.
All right.
So anyway, I found out the specs, and I want to just, you know, make a case for myself, you know, make a name for myself, or whatever you want to say. And I just want to take a shot at, you know, kind of hitch up my trousers, stand right in front of you, look you square in the eye, and, you know, make a case for myself on why I feel that I should get the, you know, the bid on that.
Well, first of all, I haven't heard your bid.
And I want to make a case for myself.
You don't have to make a case for yourself for a bid. You put the bid in,
I put the bid in, then I make a case for myself, yeah. But I like to make a case for myself before I put the bid in. So I make two cases for myself.
Why would you do that?
Because I want Mr. Henry and anyone listening to know that I'm dead serious about it.
All right, okay, I understand. So you want to tell me why you ought to do the job, then you want to tell me what the bid is.
Then I'd like to, you know, come out and evaluate, and then I'll go ahead and make a bid.
Well, why don't you just do that, man, after you have...
This doesn't make any sense, Steve. Why would you want to make a case for doing a job you may not want to do?
Because I want to make sure that you get my bid and that I'm serious about the bid.
What if you don't give me a bid?
Then I would say to you, I'm not giving you a bid. I did make a case for myself. I did want to very, very strenuously promote myself. Then I went ahead and I took a look at the job, and it looks like, you know, I wouldn't touch it with your hands. And so
therefore, the bid that you did originally was not honestly delivered.
It was honestly delivered until I saw the garbage that I got to do.
You know, I'm very tempted to hang up on you, Steve.
I haven't said one thing to that squirrel.
I'm talking about you and the bid that you haven't made yet, and that you may not make in earnest because you haven't seen the job yet.
Let me just I'm asking, Mr. Henry.
If I may, Phil.
Go ahead, bud.
Mr. Bozell, because I talked to him today, all he wants to do is stand directly in front of you, look you straight in the eyeball, hitch up his pants.
Yeah, we know, and make a case for himself.
That's it, yeah.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
All right. All I want to do is just, if I was there in front of you, I'd stand with my feet about shoulder length apart. I'd look you square. I'd have my thumbs probably in my belt loop. And
is this necessary?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, ma'am.
Go ahead.
Go.
I would stand there directly in front of Mr. Henry. Well, now I feel like everybody's looking at me.
Everybody is looking at you. Everyone's not only looking at you.
That thing is pretty weird.
Oh, yeah, right. All I want to do is...
You want to stand in front of me, put your feet shoulder length apart.
Yeah, shoulder width apart, not length. And then put my thumbs in my belt loop, yeah. And then look you square in the eye and say, Mr. Henry, Bozell and Bozell Construction feels it is the best company, and I'm speaking on behalf of Bozell and Bozell. I'm not speaking for myself now. There's a lot of guys who work for me. There's a lot of people in the office. And I'm speaking for Bozell and Bozell as if it was a person, because they say that companies are people.
Right.
So I want to make the case for Bozell and Bozell to do the studio redesign. Now, my understanding is you are going to be expanding the office space, the studio space. You're going to be requiring, obviously, a new, you know, some carpentry work, and you'll also be requiring additional work. I mean, are you adding anything on?
Well, that's what I mean. Shouldn't you, you know...
Wait, I'm not asking you. It's a figuratively ask. It's a rhetorical question. Are you adding anything on? Okay.
Yeah,
it's a rhetorical question.
Come on, will you, Bozell? It's like you're doing a comedy bit or something.
All I'm trying to do...
Steve, you know, I think that you are at a point in your life right now, in your career...
Oh, yeah, go ahead and give me she's going to psychoanalyze me. I love that when you do that. I love it so, so much.
Now, Mr. Bozell, I'll tell you, it sounds like you need it. Sounds like you're about ready to crack between a traveling squirrel and thinking B&B Construction is a man.
Yeah, it's not a man. It's a company.
Yeah, you think it's a man. It ain't no man.
I don't think it's a man. I think it's an entity.
All right, everybody just be quiet for a second. Everybody hold on for just a second. Steve, do you want you want to put a bid in on doing this work?
I think I do.
All right. I don't want to hear your pitch until such time as you've come out here and you've taken a look at what the job is. and then you can then make a bid.
You don't want to hear my bid now.
No, because you haven't seen the job, man. How can you bid it if you haven't seen the job?
Because I know you got three or four other guys lined up.
I haven't heard a bid from them either. Okay? So I would want you to, and as long as you're being bugged by that squirrel.
I haven't said a thing. You're the one being bugged by it now.
Yeah, Phil, you're the guy that's making the comment.
Yeah, okay. So why did you make a comment? Never mind. All right, so Steve, when you come out here, yeah, now all I can hear is that squirrel.
See, that's the thing.
I told you, it's very contagious. It's very contagious. I've mastered, my mind is now turned off to the squirrel, but all you can do is hear it.
If you come out here and take a look at the job.
Okay.
Then offer me a bid on what it's going to be.
Can you give me any preliminary, you know, look at it?
That seems pretty fair, Mr. Henry.
I'm in a studio right now, and I want to move my equipment into the larger main living room. I want to have the, in other words, I want the broadcast position to be there.
All right, hold on for a minute. I'm just writing this down. You're in a, what are you in?
I'm in a room in a studio right now.
Okay. And you want to do what?
I want to move the broadcast apparatus, the microphones and the chairs and everything and the computers into the other room.
You want to move the broadcast, what was that word?
Hey, Bozell, what, maybe you need a secretary or something.
Steve, you're wasting a lot of time.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bozell, you don't even know what you're writing about.
I'm trying to get it as fast as I can.
Look, why don't you just, I'll send a recording. How about that?
What did you just say?
Yeah, Phil, slow down. I can't wait for you to write this stuff down. We want to move the studio into the next room, and
that squirrel's laughing.
All right, Steve. Thank you very much.
Mr. Henry,
Phil,
it's only going to get worse.
That guy belongs in a nut house, okay?
Now you're talking my language. I've been telling you that for years.
No, you haven't. No, you haven't.
At least since he's been talking to that squirrel.
Phil, I don't think that did you any good, because now he's going to be at home fretting and worrying, getting suicidal.
Hey, let me tell you something about Steve Bozell. There's not a suicidal bone in his body. That guy is, the only thing he thinks about is living. He just wants everybody to kiss his ass morning, noon, and night.
Speaking of having your ass kissed.
Yeah. Be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. We have Bob Green from Fraser Foods. With news on the CEO position there at Fraser Foods.
Hi, do you lift?
I do.
I lift weights every morning, and that's why I take Mother John's Protein Shake. This protein shake is what it's all about. I guzzle one in the morning, a half of one at lunchtime, two at dinner time, and then three more before I go to bed. And that's all I have. Mother John's Protein Shake, I believe is what it's called.
No.
Anyway, the protein shake and guzzle. Make sure you get both. The protein shake alone will not do you. You have to get the guzzle as well. If you get both the shake and the guzzle, you'll have arms like mine, you'll have a chest like mine, you'll have forearms, biceps, the whole thing. Now, from the waist down, I got a flat ass, no calves, and no thighs. Why? I don't believe in building myself up below the waist, other than the obvious. But you can't do any weightlifting for that. So make sure that when you decide you want to lift weights and get a big, ripped chest, a flat stomach, huge guns, no ass, and no calves, and no thighs, and look like you're some kind of a freak of the week, make sure you get Mother John's Shake and Guzzle. Remember, get the shake and the guzzle, without which you're nothing. Mother John's Shake and Guzzle. Available now at your local Erstwhiles.
Hey, everybody, this is Jimmy Jim. Every week we have the doo-wop that you love and that you need. All you have to do is dial into the Jimmy Jim Doo-wop Hour, and this is a music that we remember, the music that we dance to, the music that we love. It's Jimmy Jim Doo-wop Hour. That's right, the Doo-wop Hour right here on most of these stations. Jimmy Jim Doo-wop Hour. Let's dance. My knee went out. I had to get my trick knee went out. I can't dance. I got to have my knee fixed.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Welcome back.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We have Robert Green joining us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Fraser Foods, a longtime sponsor of our show. And Bob, you have a momentous, I'm almost afraid to hear what it is you're going to say.
Well, Phil, there comes a time in every man's career that you have to take a look at what you've been doing and take a look at where you're going and, you know, make some changes. And so I have decided that Charlene, as you know, a young lady that was working as our one of our checkers, who I decided that I would date, has decided that she will break up with me. Ordinarily, I don't make these announcements. I would keep this very quiet.
Now, this is a young lady who's broken up with you, a young lady we're dating?
That is correct, General. I usually don't make these announcements, but I'm making the announcement, Charlene broke up with me. Now, I'm the CEO of a major grocery chain. I realize this isn't the kind of announcement that you would consider a man in my position to make. But I want to do something different. I want any young woman who works for me, any woman who may work for a man of some position, such as I have, I want them to know that it is illegal for a man in my position to manipulate another a woman in terms of her employment because we're having a relationship. So that's, I'm well aware of that.
Okay, but you, can I just ask something?
Yeah.
You were dating her.
Had nothing to do with the fact she was a checker. As a matter of fact, I was dating her for 6 months. She was still a checker. So for the 6 months that we dated, and then last night she said she's old, she's finished, and she's going to go out with another guy, and I'm not familiar with him.
Hey, I know it's a Bruce.
Don't say his name if you know. How do you know him?
I'm familiar with the. I'm familiar with the principals.
What does that mean?
You're familiar with who?
How do you know that, bud?
I know Charlene a little bit, and I know this other guy.
Well, I don't know how you know them.
I've just been talking to her on the phone a couple times.
Talking to her on the phone. What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing at it.
Well, now all of a sudden it's a big joke.
Bob, I'm sure there's an explanation. I don't think we need to get into it right now. The more interesting question here, though, is where you're leading with this. You were dating her, and she remained a checker.
Exactly. And I think that that's significant because some people may say, oh, well, because she was dating the boss, she was going to get some perks. As you can see, no, she didn't. We never brought work into it, and not that she didn't, and this is where I want to get to where I'm going here, Phil, not that she didn't intimate that she'd like to have a bigger position with the company, and I said to her, I can't do that, I can't go there, don't talk to me about that, otherwise it's sexual harassment.
Now, wait a minute, how is it sexual harassment when she says this to you?
Because if I go ahead and I accede to her demands, I give her these nice jobs, and people will say, oh, well, you did that for her because you have the power to do that. See? And that's what sexual harassment's all about.
All right, so what has this got to do with it? You said this is an announcement, at least in the press release I saw, as to your position as the CEO.
It is. And here, and the announcement is as follows. I am the CEO of Fraser Foods, and I dated one of my checkers. And that may... You know, I probably shouldn't have to say more than that, but I guess I do, right?
I don't know where you're going.
I'm confused.
You're confused? What about you, Margaret?
Yes, I'm confused.
All right. You understand that I dated a woman that checks groceries for a living, and she had the right to, she went out with me. In other words, she was in limousines with me, in my sports cars, and my swimming pool and everything.
All right.
And it's still not grabbing you, huh?
What are you talking about? Yeah, talking about the...
What I'm talking about...
But, Bob, hold on. You're kind of leading into something.
I shouldn't have to lead into anything. I went ahead and I gave her a break. I went out with her for 6 months, okay? And I didn't use that position to influence anything. So I guess that's why she broke up with me. But the fact that I even went out with her...
So you're saying that you went out with her and you that was a big thing?
Absolutely a big thing. And I'm the CEO of the company, and what do I get? She breaks up with me and tells me she's going to go out with some guy that bags groceries over there, so I don't know what the guy does.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
All right, okay, great. See, now it gets confirmed. And so my announcement is as follows. If you haven't gotten the gist of it...
No, I have not. We'd like you to spell it out if you don't mind.
All right, I'll spell it out. This girl had the opportunity to go out with a millionaire, me, even though she only checks groceries, and for six
For 6 months, I didn't use my position to influence her position in any way, so I would steer clear of the, you know, laws against sexual harassment.
Okay.
And I didn't get so much as a blowjob, right?
You know, you are a real animal.
Did you ask me to spell it out?
Bob.
Did you ask me to spell it out?
Don't you?
All right, hold on for a minute.
No, I think that's an absolutely crude and vile thing to say.
Well, what has this got to do with anything?
What's it got to do with anything? For 6 months I went out with this woman. All right?
All right, I understand. So, did you not have sex with her?
Yes, I had sex with her. Absolutely.
Well, then what are you talking about?
Just what I said.
No oral sex.
Not from her, no.
Well, from who then?
I had to augment it with other women. The reason why...
All right.
Phil, what are you doing?
You know, there's just days when I can't take it any longer. There's days when I can't take it any longer. I don't believe anything that's being said to me. I think it's all horse dung.
Mr. Henry, you...
Get out, give me the Mr. Henry stuff.
Well, as far as I can tell, this guy went out with her for 6 months...
And he didn't get so much as a blowjob.
Yeah. It's Mr. Green.
Hey, Bob.
You hang up on me. I'm not allowed to hang up on you.
Yeah, I hung up on you. That's the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my life. Not only that, you have the most vile and vulgar manners to use that kind of language on my show.
I hear you guys do it all the time. Why can't I?
Because I'm the host of the show and these guys are on a panel. You're a guest.
I'm a sponsor. Okay? Yeah, that shut you up, didn't it?
No, it's not going to shut me up. I don't care if you're a sponsor. I don't want to hear that language.
I went out with her for 6 months, and I didn't get so much as a blowjob. And every time...
All right. I will tell you this, folks. I apologize, and I don't know whether it's a full moon. We had a super moon.
Oh, that doesn't have anything to do with it. What? The problem is, Henry, you know far too many weirdos. What do you want?
It's him again.
Give me the phone. But what do you think you're going to do here, man? You're going to muscle your way back on?
I want people to understand something. That I went out with this girl for 6 months. I'm a multimillionaire. I never used my position as CEO to get anything from her, to ask anything of her. I did everything she asked of me, and she dumps me for a guy that bags groceries? God will not permit this to happen. I'm going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny. And...
Yeah,
Well, what in the hell...
That's fantastic. Thank you very much. Robert Green here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we'll be right back.
What is this anyway?
This is Margaret Gray for the Margaret Gray Songbook coming out for your Christmas season. Beautiful, beautiful songs that are only for Christmas time, such as It Looks Like It's Going to Be Christmas Time. It's the funnest time. And who can ever forget Santa Claus? There he is. I was getting dressed one day. Looked, and what did I see? Santa Claus peeking through the bedroom window. There he is. And other great Christmas songs. Do send away now for the Margaret Gray Songbook. $9.99 to
Margaret Gray Songbook, Post Office 12, Elf.
The Margaret Gray Songbook can be yours. It can be something you hold in your hand and look at. Throw away, yes. But at least for a few seconds, you hold it in your hand and you look at it. And don't forget such great Christmas classics as Jingle Boy. There was a jingle bell on the top of a jingle boy. Wrap that kid around the fender of a bus. That's right. It's all there in the Margaret Gray Songbook. I do hope you'll take advantage of it this Christmas.
Send away for the Margaret Gray Songbook, Post Office Box 6, Jingle.
Hello, everyone. This is General Galen Shaw for the Phil Henry Show website, Backstage Pass. There's nothing like it in this world. The Backstage Pass gives you access to tens of thousands of hours of some of the greatest radio that God ever permitted on the planet Earth. And it just happens to be the Phil Henry Show. And with your one-year subscription, you get all of our best of downloads absolutely free. A $150 value. I could have said $200, but I actually, you know, figured it out on my calculator. $150 value from the Phil Henry Show website. So get your one-year subscription to the Phil Henry Show website, your Backstage Pass, and grab your downloads today.
You'll be glad you did.
Who is this irresistible creature who has an insatiable love for the dead?
Phil Henry Show at El Pacifico in Southern California.
Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. You know, that song you just did, Jingle Boy?
This, Phil, I don't want to hear anything about it. These are traditional Christmas songs. They're more of an East Coast Christmas song than they are anything else. And I know that John had called in.
We got John Jettyman with us?
Yes, John is on the line. John?
Hello, Margaret. Yes, hello, Phil.
Hey, John, have you heard of these songs?
Oh, we sang some of them quite a bit back in the old school days, especially Jingle Boy.
Yes, there was a Jingle Boy.
Yeah, it went like this. Oh, there was a Jingle Boy, and he had a jingle bell wrapped around the fender of a bus. We caught the bus that day.
But I got to interrupt you.
I don't like being interrupted. I don't know. Who is this again?
This is General Galen Shaw, sir, for the 900th time.
Sorry. And what's your question?
What is this wrapped around the fender of a bus?
Well, it's an urban song, and Margaret tells me there's a sensitivity to it.
Yeah, it sounds like something. It's horrible.
Well, Phil, it's about a kid that gets hit by a bus, but he lives. All right.
Oh, that's the part. You don't know that he lives. Yes, he does live.
Is he crippled?
Was Tiny Tim? Oh, yes, he's crippled.
Well, is he healed?
Was Tiny Tim? So,
what is this, a modern-day Tiny Tim?
Yeah, exactly. It's about a modern-day Tiny Tim who was a jingle boy. That means that he ran numbers on Christmas Eve for all the bookies up and down the street. They'd say, give it to Jingle Boy. And he would run the numbers.
Wait a minute, Tiny Tim didn't run numbers.
Really? So says you. But the point is, it doesn't matter what he did. The fact of the matter is that Jingle Boy, and then he gets hit by the bus, and so it goes. And then the other song you did was Santa Claus is Looking at You.
Yeah, no, there is Santa Claus Looking at Me. That is one that a lot of people don't understand. They think it is degrading, but it's about Santa Claus making the mistake of looking in a bedroom window before he climbs up onto the roof.
Yes, and it's a traditional song here in Philadelphia, Phil. Not because it's salacious or scatological or any of those, but because it is a cute family-oriented song. There's Mother, and if you can imagine, there's Mother taking her pants off. She's putting on another pair of slacks, and she's having to.
What a child.
You're the child. And she's putting on a pair of slacks. So she gets on the edge of the bed, and because they fit tight, she's got to put her legs up in the air.
Yeah.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Go ahead.
He best to put her legs up. And so Santa Claus catches sight of that as he's about ready to climb the ladder to go on the roof. And so it goes like this. Oh, there goes Santa Claus, there goes Santa Claus up the roof today. And he sees my mother with her legs in the air. What do you think he'll say? Looks like a pup. I'm sorry. Agnes.
Is she doing it again?
Yeah, Agnes is here. She just shoved her hand right down the front of my pant. Would you please? Oh, they're going to have to clear this room, Phil. Pardon me for a minute. Get her out of here, her, all of these old ladies.
John is very popular with a lot of the women there, and...
Is that a retirement home, sir, that you're in?
I'm in a... don't worry about it. Other old people live here, let's put it that way. Yeah. All right, and... the song is a very much a part of the Christmas tradition.
All right, so just so I know, this is a song about a woman trying to squeeze into a pair of jeans. She's got to stick her legs and her rear end up in the air, and Santa Claus sees this in the window as he's going up the ladder.
Yes, but he lingers, and that's what it's about. Oh, Santa Claus, look through the window. There was Mother's legs in the air. He lingered a moment and fingered a moment.
All right, that's fine. You know,
well, you get the general. What's the
Well, the line about fingered.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, he lingered a moment, and then he said, "It looks like another pup tent." You got a hand in there again. I don't know. Put her. She's got her hand in my pants. Get her hand out of there.
Jesus.
John.
Get her. Break her hand if you have to, but get it out of there. I. You know what? But you get the general idea. I'm sorry to bother you, Margaret, but I knew that you'd be talking about this evening.
It was part of the songbook, yes.
Yeah, the great Margaret Gray songbook. And I love it. And, of course, there are traditional ones there as well. Frosty is as Frosty does. And that's about Frosty the Snowman. Frosty is as Frosty does. When he is, you think he was. It's Frosty, oh, Frosty. Frosty there and Frosty here, Frosty all over the schmear. Get yourself a little bit of Frosty. I did.
Jay, you're a great singer, huh?
What's that again?
Never mind. Thank you very much, John.
Yeah, those are some of the songs. And get her hand. Break her hand if you have.
What's with you?
What does that mean?
No, it just. What's the matter?
Hey, I don't blame the kid. He's entitled to a question. That guy sings like somebody's got not a hand down his pants. They've got a fist up as you know what.
God damn, man. Well, you know what I mean.
That I've heard some filth before.
And Margaret, I'm not gonna sit here and listen to some guy warbling like he's taking a 2x4 without making a comment on it.
I can see that you're laughing, too.
Everybody's laughing. I mean, the entire thing is from Jingle Boy all the way to Santa Claus is peeking in the window, you know.
And there's Phil going, you know, Phil, when you laugh at these things, you laugh, you know, he who laughs last, okay?
Yeah.
Well.
It didn't make any sense.
It makes enough sense for me. He who laughs last.
He who laughs best. He who laughs.
He who laughs last, laughs best.
That's it, baby. That's it in a nutshell. All right, folks.
A Christmas nutshell.
All right, folks. Thanks so much for putting up with this garbage. We'll see you again tomorrow. And then, of course, we have our Friday night chat. If you're a new Backstage Pass member, make sure you join us for our Friday night chats every Friday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern Time at the Phil Henry Show website. We're in that little chat box down there, the lower right-hand corner. Click on the video link. There I am, man, you know. And don't forget, of course, on Saturday, we have our Saturday Cinema. I don't know what they're going to be showing this weekend, but what did you guys do?
What do you mean, last week?
Yeah.
We did Jailbait.
Jailbait starring Ed Wood.
Jesus, that one sucks.
You better believe that.
I thought it was fairly decent.
Well, Jailbait, Ed Wood is one of our auteurs.
He's dead now.
Oh, well, then never mind.
All right, so we'll have another Saturday Cinema. And, of course, on Sunday evenings, we live stream our show, the show that we are recording for Monday, for the Monday droppage, man. So, big action-packed weekend at the world-famous Phil Henry Show website.
World-famous Phil Henry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California, executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. Yeah!